Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast, where we interview the unique personalities in Nevada's most fascinating small town. The terms of two Boulder City Council members and the mayor expire with the advent of 2027. Steve Walton, Cokie Booth, and Mayor Joe Hardy. All three have decided to seek re-election. As with the last several election cycles, the Boulder City Podcast will do episodes with all the candidates, the incumbents, and the challengers. Since there are only a few challengers, a June primary election is unnecessary in Boulder City this year, and the election will take place on November 3rd, 2026. Since Mayor Joe Hardy has only one challenger, the persistent candidate Brent Folk, who never responds to media requests for interviews, we're going to start this year's election series with the sitting mayor. Hardy was elected mayor in 2022 after serving in the state senate for 12 years and the assembly for 6 years. He was also a councilman in Boulder City from 1999 to 2002. Hardy is the associate dean of clinical education for the Touro University College of Osteopathic Medicine in Henderson. He spoke with me in the city council chambers in City Hall in May. First in our series of podcasts running up to the election in November, and we're starting with the mayor, Joe Hardy, here in Boulder City. Joe has been in office for 3 years, and he's running for re-election and has virtually no opponent. I mean, nobody knows who the opponent is, so we're going to go with no opponent at this point.
That's very generous of you. Thanks, Roger.
So, Mayor, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on the 3 years as being mayor. You've done a great job managing the city, working with city council to get things done, and there's a lot of good things happening, and I want to start with the good things. So, the first thing I want to talk about is the low property taxes here in Boulder City. We have the lowest property taxes in Clark County, and they've been staying low, as opposed to the other cities in Clark County where they keep going up and up and up. How have you been able to keep them so low?
Well, it's quite frankly easy. We have a state law that doesn't allow taxes to go up. Mm-hmm. Now, the good thing about a percentage, let's just pretend there's a percentage of 3%. So if your 3% starts low,
right,
it's going to stay low.
Yeah.
If your starts high, your 3% is going to be higher and higher and higher.
Sure.
So we are kept low simply because we know that there's a 3% cap, and it doesn't make any difference what we do. It's mm-hmm. still going to be low.
Right.
Lower than anybody else. It's a good deal.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, the solar fields contribute to that.
We get revenue out of that. Yes, yes. Quite frankly, if it weren't for our leases for our solar fields, then we would be in trouble because our property taxes, even if we could expand them monumentally, would not catch up with
sure.
our solar field leases. So the leases we've made in El Dorado Valley have been huge. They pay about 35% of our mm-hmm. budget,
right? Sure.
Which, you know, is better than a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's really quite remarkable. I think our taxes are like 17%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our consolidated tax, our seat tax, that gives us about another third. So it's with all the fees and things, that with property tax, that's about a third. Our seat tax about a third, and then our lease is about a third. That's how I keep track
okay.
of it.
Great, great. So I hear there's some progress on a new pool. We've been talking about this for many years now, but finally I think we're at the brink. Explain where we are with that.
The pool has been a saga.
Sure.
It's been a saga since I came to town in 82.
Right.
So in 82, they said, oh, my goodness, the pool is going to have a problem.
Right.
And sure enough, it did, and it did, and it did. But the pool is built on top of another pool, and this pool has problems with the plumbing. So we know it's going to fail,
sure.
and that is why we want to get a new pool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we had a good contractor that gave us a schematic of the new pool. 8 lanes, a lazy river, a recreational area. I mean, it's going to be a real gem. It's going to be, again, the center part
right.
of Boulder City. I mean, we think center part is City Hall, but it's not.
Right.
It's the pool.
It's the pool, for sure.
And that's where the families go. That's mm-hmm. where the kids go. That's where our high school students who swim,
right.
who get the last 139th state championships. Right. That's one of them, kind of thing. And so the pool is really critical for us. And when I got elected this time, I made a list of things I wanted to do, and the pool is right up there. Okay. In fact, I think it's number two.
So where are we now? What stage? What's the next thing that's going to happen?
The pool is under contract for the contractor to build it, and we are on track to fully fund the pool. Mm-hmm. We've got all of the things, and I'm smiling now because the county commission, I'm sure, is going to want to pony up some money too.
Okay.
But we haven't pulled that card as a necessity yet.
Okay. Great.
But they're on it.
Yeah, okay. And I've seen the schematics, as you said, and it looks like it's going to be very impressive building there, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, we said, okay, what do we want? And they came back and said, you don't want one of those doors that goes up and down and rattles because of all the problems with heating and whatever. Right. So we said, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, people who have built pools before are here with us now, and I think it's going to be... People are really going to be impressed.
Okay, great. Looking forward to that. So Jill Lagan with the Chamber has brought in this Adventure Center that's going up right next to the office, the Chamber offices over there. How's that going to impact Boulder City?
The Adventure Center will bring people. Mm-hmm. And people who come to Boulder City will buy stuff, will eat here, will go out, and they become our ambassadors, quite frankly.
Sure.
They go back home and they say, I had this wonderful experience in Boulder City, either going down to the lake or going to the park and seeing the sheep, or going downtown and visiting, or the antique shops. They're going to come, and they're going to be our ambassadors after that. People will say, went to Boulder City, and it is worth a visit. So that Adventure Center, where they get in one place and then they fan them out, what a brilliant idea.
Yeah. We spoke with the folks at Papillon Airways a few months ago, and they're very excited about that, too, because they're going to take part in that as well.
Yeah. So our airport, we're in the process of changing the face of our airport.
Yeah.
The hangars are being used. We're going to have a tower. We know that the airport is going to get more business and more people flying in and out. The more we do to bring those people in, the more it lifts the whole city.
And we settled the hangar issue, which was hanging over us for a while.
You know, it was kind of fun, Roger. I went down and talked with one of the people who were upset periodically, I'll say. And he's working with the city, working with the airport. And Melissa's doing her good job.
Yeah.
So all things are happening, and someday we still look for parachuters to come back to Boulder City.
Right. Yeah, a friend of mine is a pilot. He has to drive all the way to Gene from Boulder City, so if he wants to come back here too, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's got great opportunities.
Yeah, no question. So let's talk about the big issue right now, the data center issue. This has become very controversial, and I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, people are under the impression that the council has approved it and it's all ready to go. What's the real situation at this point?
For the record, this morning I took a tour of the area where the data center has been proposed. Now, Townsite Solar has a lease on land, and they are saying we would like to renew our lease, and in that lease we would like to have a data center. And I went down there and looked. One of the problems is people said, well, it's too close. Well, it's 4.2 miles as the crow flies to the nearest house. People said, well, it uses too much water. And we have determined that if we have a data center, we're not going to have those that use water. We're going to have a data center that uses the closed system. They say it's going to be too close, and we know that it's far enough away, you're not going to hear it.
Right.
When we did I-11, people were upset because they were going to hear all this noise. I have not had a single person complain to me since I-11 came in that it's too much noise.
Sure.
And so the data center is going to be less noise than I-11, by the way, and the data center is going to be on the other side of I-11.
Right.
So the noise, the water, The cooling system will be a different cooling system than using water, and we are going to require that kind of thing. And when I went down this morning, I looked at it, I looked back, and I said, there's a hill. There's actually a hill
between
the proposed data center and the Boulder City. Now, it is in Boulder City, but there is a hill. And somebody has said, well, we ought to have a wall. Well, they're going to build a 20-foot wall around it, which will dampen sound as well. So the sound's going to be better.
I've driven by the data centers on 215 in Henderson or in Las Vegas. I don't hear anything.
No.
And also, one of the people seem to be under the impression that you're going to take power from the Boulder City utility, which isn't the case either.
No, they'll have to make their own power purchase agreement like anybody else does, and it won't come from us. It'll come from someplace elsewhere. Right. Now, we have a power plant in El Dorado Valley, Southern Nevada or San Diego Gas and Electric, and they produce power, and, you know, it used to be, you probably remember, where you could see a plume. We don't even see that anymore.
Right.
And so the concept of power, we need power, we're going to have power. The thing that was fascinating on my little tour this morning was I saw where Henderson's going to build one, two, and potentially three data centers in that area there.
That's slice of land that they
own. You remember the old road that goes between Searchlight and when it goes up to Railroad? That's basically the demarcation between Henderson and Boulder City, with a few exceptions where Boulder City goes over.
Right.
And they're going to build, and if they're going to build, then I want to build, because if they build one, I don't get any money from that. I don't get property tax. I don't get a lease. And why not keep that in-house where I can be in charge of it? I can be in charge of how they do it. I can stipulate exactly what's going to be done and what has to be done. I can be in charge. When I say I, obviously I'm personifying the city of Boulder City, maybe unjustly, but that's what I'll say.
And there's also BLM land beyond the limits of Boulder City where they could also put it, and we don't have any control over that either.
None.
Yeah. And we wouldn't get anything out of that.
None.
Yeah. So if they're going to be down there, why not?
Yeah. And when you look at the budget, one of the things that I put on my list of things to do, my priority, my number one priority on my little napkin that I wrote as to what I wanted to do in my position, I wanted to retain my people.
Yeah.
Boulder City is the people, and the people who we have hired in the city of Boulder City are important, and the best way to retain people is to pay them.
Yeah.
And if you can afford it, you can pay them. And if you can't afford it, you can't pay them.
Well, we saw that with our last city manager, who, very energetic and talented young man, got a better offer and then left because we couldn't afford to pay him.
Yeah. And the good news is he was replaced by a wonderful city manager. I mean, we did well.
Yeah.
I think Ned is doing a great job.
Yeah, no question. So there's going to be a referendum on the ballot in November to approve or reject development of a data center in the transfer area. If that's voted down, will that be the end of this, that we won't be able to do it?
There are two issues. One is the council right now can approve a data center in the place where Townsite Solar is asking for. We can do that right now. Then November 2nd, I think the election is, the people will be able to say, do you want a site or sites for a data center to be in that other area that traditionally we have limited to battery storage and solar panels? And that's what that is about.
Okay.
So there's two issues. One is what we could do now, and the other is, do we want to open up other areas that are already being used for energy-related stuff, but also put down a data center as an opportunity.
Okay. I also read at some point that data centers are important to the national security of this country, because if we don't keep up with China, who can build data centers anywhere, you know, we're going to fall behind in the technology wars.
How many people do you know have one of these?
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, everybody has a cell phone, and when you start looking at what I can do with this cell phone, it's because of AI.
Yeah, for sure.
And AI, so I can get on AI, for instance, and ask about data centers, and it will tell me something. And the good thing about AI is sometimes it's accurate.
Right. Sometimes it's inaccurate.
And sometimes it's not. So you actually have to do your homework.
For sure, yeah.
But pretty much everybody who has one of these can use it for, and so we know that we need more bandwidth for our phones and for our computers. We know that.
Right.
I no longer have even a turntable that puts a record on it, you know, a little vinyl thing. I don't have one of those anymore. I've got this thing that I put in my pocket, and we can listen to music of whatever we want.
Yeah, no question. So we were talking about the land in El Dorado Valley. Is there a chance that we could annex maybe even more land down there and make sure that, you know, Dick Henderson doesn't develop anything further than that they've already planned?
You know, I have to be fair to Henderson. I've talked with Henderson on multiple occasions, and we actually have a good working relationship with Henderson. And we, the city, at one point were worried that they were going to put residential areas down there with all the things that had to be done. And they have openly promised me they are not going to do that. Mm-hmm. They are going to look for, their priority is jobs and people who can work places. So they are going to do something down there that is interested in jobs. And they have a lot of area down there that goes right up to, in fact, Henderson owns the mountain. And so they have a lot of area there that they can use. And they've been considerate, you know, of what we want and sensitive to it.
Yeah.
So I think that we have a great relationship with Henderson, and I feel confident that they will continue to have that. In fact, I talked with Henderson City Councilman just today.
Okay.
About data centers, and he says, so what's the big deal? Why are we so concerned about, you know, that they have the same concerns we did, and they're looking at the same kind of thing.
Well, they develop a lot of areas. They go like they're going up the mountains on the McDonald's Highland side, and I hope they limit it to that and don't bring it onto our side of the mountain.
They have a different attitude, and when I say they, I mean everybody but us.
Right.
Everybody but us feels that growth sustains growth.
Right.
We don't.
Yeah.
We want
limited,
controlled growth. A little caveat, in the 2010 census and the 2020 census, we actually had fewer people in the 2020 census than we had in the 2010 census. And in as much as it was less than 15,000, then we had to scramble, and the governor found us 150 people so we could get over to 15,000, so we could still have three taverns, because you had to have 5,000 people in order to be able to have one tavern. So it was, we actually went down in our census, and if you look at the birth rate now and the schools having fewer students, that is something concerning about, you know, where we're going.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the dam and the power in the dam.
Mm-hmm.
We just saw the federal government now is limiting the amount of water that's going to come into Lake Mead in favor of keeping it up in Lake Powell for some reason. I'm sure they have their reasons for that. I don't know what they are. But so that kind of brings the threat of getting to the Deadpool where the Hoover Dam can't produce electricity anymore. And I know we get a big chunk of our electricity from the Hoover Dam. Your great public information officer just told me it's 25% rather than the 60% I read somewhere else.
Yeah.
But still, that's a big chunk of electricity.
Yeah.
Do we have a plan if that happens, how we can continue to, you know, offer a reasonable cost of electricity to our citizens here?
I told somebody today, power bills are going to go up.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody can feel that they're not going to go up, because our power from the dam, our share of that will be not as much. Mm-hmm. And we still have to have the lights on, so we're going to pay off of the grid to get more power. Sure. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. And I know that no matter if you do or don't get a data center, you're going to use more power than Hoover Dam can produce for us. Right. That's just reality. And knowing that that's going to happen, we have to be prepared to see what sure. we're going to do. And we have, you know, we pay, it's a separate fund for our utilities in and out. And so when we have to pay for power off of the grid, our power bill is going to go up.
Right.
I mean, that's going to happen, irrespective of if we get a data center. We're just going, when you consider that back in the day, you had 17 turbines going in Hoover Dam producing electricity, and now we've got four, you know that they're not producing as much electricity.
Oh, that's right.
And the potential energy, the height of water coming down produces more energy. You know that Hoover Dam's not going to continue to do that. Now, Lake Powell is in a dilemma because they can't. I mean, they're in a position where they're almost where they can't let water out.
Right.
So we are in that similar position, but not nearly as desperate as Lake Powell is. And fortunately, that's above my pay grade to solve that.
Yeah.
I think my wife, she prays for rain.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
yeah. I pray for snow in the Rockies.
Yeah,
in the winter.
And so she prays for rain and snow, and I would rather have snow than
yeah.
rain like you. But that's reality. You know, we have to have more power. We have to have more water, and that means I need more rain and I need more snow.
Right. Well, that's bound to impact, you know, some of our less fortunate citizens here in Boulder City who might not be able to afford, you know, power. Is there any way we can alleviate that stress on them?
I mean, realistically, we are not here to put people in the poorhouse.
Right.
So the city council, and I can't speak for them all because, you know, then I would have to pretend I know. We traditionally have made sure people are taken care of in Boulder City.
Right.
There are a lot of different people helping a lot of people in Boulder City right now. So I don't look for us to turn our back, mm-hmm. our financial back on those people. I look for us to be able to protect and help them. So we can put more money into places that are desperate simply because we're the city council and we have money. And speaking of having money, we will have enough money if we have a data center.
Okay.
Did I come full circle on that?
Perfect. You tied it up in a nice knot there. So let's talk about the schools. So Clark County is considering a couple of options for our schools, combining a couple of them different ways, or there's a possibility they say that they won't change anything. But what's your opinion how that should work itself out?
They are having people come on different listening days and talking about those things. I am glad I'm not the school superintendent, quite frankly. And they have tried to float different balloons. Do we have two schools, one with, you know, the kindergarten through and the other one seventh or eighth grade through? And when it comes down to it, they already have a Laughlin does that as one footprint, but two schools in one footprint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're doing that now.
Right, yeah.
And so they're, no matter what they do, I think there will be a new building project of some kind.
Yeah.
It's great for us to be able to be in one general area. We're blessed.
Yeah.
Our parents can go to one general area and within a certain period of time pick up all their kids or have their oldest pick up their youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a real blessing for Boulder City that
yeah.
nobody else has.
Yeah.
We're it.
Sure. And you have all the schools in one area there. I mean, does it matter if we have to combine a couple of them?
If you put kindergartners with seniors, that's not going to work.
Right. That's not going to work.
You know, and if you put kindergartners with sixth graders, that's not going to work.
Right.
So there literally has to be a physical barrier or distance of some kind, either built into the same huge building or two different buildings, or take the same buildings that we have now and say these are assigned in a different way.
Right.
I don't, you know, you've been around long enough to see that we have built a school in
sure.
Boulder City. And another school.
Three kids that went through the school system.
Yeah.
That I know you haven't.
Yeah.
Too,
so. And so yeah. We've watched how they've mixed and matched and done things. So I think we're pretty resilient in Boulder City. We have wonderful teachers. They're committed to continue to teach. We have had wonderful principals. We've had wonderful curriculum. We believe in education. In Boulder City, we really do believe it. When Clark County School District has meetings, one of which I went to, for instance, and they were going out to all of the school districts and telling them, we are going to change something, and what do you think about it? Well, we were down at, I think it was Foothill High, and Boulder City had rows and rows of parents.
Right.
No other schools did that.
Yeah, yeah.
We all showed up. We all cared, and they know that we're invested in this community and our children like nobody else is. I mean, everybody loves their kids, but I tell you, we show up.
Yeah.
And so
that's a big difference when it comes to the kids' upbringing there.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, our enrollment, though, is going down because we're getting less and less families in Boulder City, unfortunately. Is there, and I know we draw a lot of people from Henderson, a lot of kids from Henderson come to Boulder City because you're allowed to choose where you go to school as long as you get yourself there. Do you think that will increase more kids coming from Henderson? Or?
Yes, short answer. So we have, I think, about 150 some odd kids coming from out of Boulder City,
right. And
that allows us to have more kids to play ball, more kids to swim, more kids to do all the programs that we do. And we know those kids, and it's great to have them because they add, and their parents are engaged.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled to have that extra. 55% of the people in Boulder City are over 55.
Right.
So they don't have kids anymore.
Right, yeah.
And so we know that we're getting less young. You and I aren't getting older. But we don't have more kids. And so we're looking at, you know, the school district's going to have to figure out what they can do that will work.
Right.
And so next year, I think I will have three grandkids from Henderson attending Boulder City Schools. And different start times become a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if your start time is here for the youngest and here for the middle and here for the high schooler, you know, how do you do the start times?
Sure.
And buses, you know, you have to have buses mm-hmm. in order to be able to have different start times. So, I'm glad I'm not on the school board.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Clark County School District is the second largest in the country after Fairfax County, Virginia, where I went to school for a couple of years when I was a kid. Would it be better served to break up Clark County and Boulder City have its own school district?
Whoa, now you're talking. Are you on the mic now?
I am on the mic.
Yeah.
That's an official publication.
So when you look at all of the things that, you know, how do you divvy up the resources, how do you divvy up the taxes, I doubt if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just kind of doubt if that's going to happen.
I guess,
We've, in essence, done it in different ways with the attraction that charter schools have.
Mm-hmm.
We have children who go to different charter schools. I've had grandkids go to different charter schools. And that basically is another thing that has taken away from the public schools.
Right, yeah.
And the charter schools have a different ability to do things, you know, that the public schools don't have.
Sure, right.
so that there are population, birthright, charter schools, private schools, and aging out. There's some dynamics.
Yeah, no question. So let's talk about the leash law.
Yeah.
A lot of people are upset that they can't run their well-behaved dogs in the parks anymore, that you forced to put them on the leash. I have a friend who got a $180 ticket for running his dog in the park without a leash. That seems to be a little excessive to me, and again, a lot of people are upset about it. What was wrong with the way we were doing things in the beginning, where you would only get a ticket if your dog was aggressive or something like that?
Did I say 55% of us were over 55?
Yeah.
I am one of them.
Yeah, I'm one of them too.
And I'm a former meter reader.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay. So I think one of the most dangerous dogs is, he won't bite. He's friendly. Snap.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, that happens. And so people who say their dog is friendly, that's great, have a friendly dog. Dogs aren't predictable all the time. I got called up by somebody who said, I can't let my dog go loose in my front yard anymore. I said, yeah. Well, he scratched the delivery man. I said, well, how'd he scratch him? Well, with his tooth. I said, that's a bite. Right? That's a bite.
Yeah.
So one dog and one owner and everybody, where I really get, I'm a doctor. Did I say that yet? I'm a doctor. What I am miffed at, not just because dogs are not predictable, but dogs are predictable in where they go and what they do when dogs need to do what they do in a park. And then they're doing that on the playground of my kids where they play. And that happens. And Prattfield is one of those places. So what we've done is say, yes, we need to provide places for dogs to go. And so we've made dog parks with grass and all that kind of stuff. But then just recently we said we're going to extend that to places in the Veterans Park, for instance, that there are places where you can let them go loose. And one particular place is between the ball diamonds if there aren't kids around. And the focus group said we don't want dogs going loose around the skateboard park, because dogs chase bicycles and skates and whatever. So there are things that we can do that we've tried to do that mitigate and allow some flexibility in where your dog can go. Almost anyone you've talked to at parks here around City Hall, up on the hill, they've had an interesting challenge. And what kind of I identify with is the older person with the little dog, and the big dog is trying to snap at the little dog, that the old person is holding the little dog in his arms to protect it. That's a dangerous situation, because those people fall down and break their hip, and then we have a different problem. So yes, I understand where people are put out when they don't leash their dog where it should be leashed. Now, the good news is that $180 fine gets everybody's attention, not just the person who had to pay it. I don't know actually what the fines are and what they aren't, but I tell you, people are getting the message that there are places like our North Escalante Park, you can do that. You can have them run. Yeah. We have places where they can run, where they can be off leash. The other places, you have them on a leash. And then I don't get people who say, I got scared and because da da da. Yeah. I wish there were, quote, a happy medium, unquote. I don't think you can make everybody happy.
Well, you can never make everybody happy, yeah. But you can make the dog owners happy, I think. But so there's a group of citizens in town who who attend every council meeting, every planning meeting, and voice their opinions. Often their opinions are different than the vast majority of citizens in Boulder City. I think we've seen that in past elections and things of that nature. You know, people who work and you know, really care about the city often don't have time to come to these meetings. But you know, these people come to every meeting, and sometimes it seems like city officials respond to the squeaky wheels rather than the majority of people that might not agree with them.
We are grateful for people coming to city council. Quite frankly, if we said we don't want to hear you, every one of those people who come and talk has somebody else, two or three or four more people who agree with them. I'm not upset at all about people who come and present and talk, because they have good thoughts. And so periodically we will say to ourselves, because we can't talk unless we agendize itself,
right.
And that's frustrating for us, because
right, yeah,
we can't engage. In fact, just the other day, somebody said, "Well, answer me that." I said, "Well, you can ask, but we can't answer." I mean, that's the open meeting law.
Right.
So we actually are grateful to have people who disagree with us to keep us, as we say, honest, to keep us informed, and it doesn't bother me to have people who don't agree with me. And as my wife tells me, sometimes I'm not right. So who knows?
Possibly. So one more question. Why are you seeking re-election? I mean, you've done so much in your career. You've been a state senator, you've been an assemblyman, you've been a council person here, and you've been mayor. Isn't it time to relax and retire?
So did I tell you I was married, Roger? So, in fact, the anecdote, I was in the kitchen. I had been released from a position in my church that kept me busy on Sundays and other days. And I was in the kitchen on Sunday, and Jill looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching you. You need to find something to do." And then I got into politics. And so she's happy, I'm busy, I have somewhere to go, something to do. It's stimulating. I get to learn stuff that's new all the time. And that's what I like. And then you put that on top of it, I get to help people, I get to serve. I mean, that's kind of what I do. I solve problems. I'm a doctor, I solve problems. That's what I do. So that's kind of my DNA.
Well, I think we're fortunate to have you as mayor, and good luck in the next election. It's a few months off now, but I think you have a good chance of winning. So thanks for joining us, and you know, we'll be back with some more podcasts with the council candidates around October. So please stick around and listen to the mayor speak, and then we'll be back with the council candidates in October. So thanks for joining us on the Boulder City Podcast, and thanks to the mayor for joining us as well.
Thank you, Roger.
Hope you enjoyed this week's Boulder City Podcast. Special thanks to our videographer, Billy Walker, who is also available for photography and video assignments. He can be reached at info@billywalkermedia.com. Also thanks to Boulder City Social for partnering with us and helping to disseminate the programs. So we'll see you next time on the Boulder City Podcast.